Today, we're going to talk about an article recently featured in the Wall Street Journal written by Julia Carpenter. The article is called Well Into Adulthood and Still Getting Money from Their Parents. I took this like summary right from the article. Parental support is continuing later in life because younger people now take longer to reach many adult milestones, and getting there is more expensive than it has been for past generations, economists and researchers have said. So Julia's article explores parents helping their adult children financially, and that's what we'll spend some time on today.
What do we consider adult children? What age? 18?
23?
I think... Well, I was going to say 21 or 22 plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I view, at least I view the way that this article framed it as adult working children.
Yeah, okay. Working or trying to find
work. Or trying to find work, yes. So early 20s.
Okay.
And the article focused on what they referred to as adult milestones, having their own children, buying their own homes, supporting their own kind of month-to-month needs or not being able to do so with the income that they were making.
So what do we kind of see, we see all the above, right? Like we see parents that help their adult children on a monthly basis with a stipend. And I mean adult children like in their 40s, mm-hmm. like 20s through 40s. Mm-hmm. We see clients helping adult children with milestones. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give them 10, 20, 30, 50 grand to buy a house. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we see them also just non-milestone, like, hey, here's 10 grand. Here's 5 grand at Christmas.
Yes.
Here's 15,000 just because I want to give it to you.
Yes. And I would argue the majority of those decisions are made because the parents are in a position to be able to do it, not often coming from a place of need.
Kids asking for it.
Yes.
Hey, I need help.
Yes.
Will you please help me?
Which we know that exists, obviously. It's just not something maybe we experience as much.
You're in that position yourself. You have an adult child.
And I'm completely torn. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm an enabler. I don't know if I'm supporting. I don't know if I'm certainly not like... being the like bad cop, that's for sure. And I don't know what you're supposed to do, right? Like my kid lives at home. She had a job that was miserable, quit it, kind of not the way you should have. Like she should have gotten another job, then quit her job, but it was so bad. And like, I'll use the term like abusive. Like I was like, you just got to get out of that place. Yeah. And then you could find a job waiting table somewhere. That's taken a little longer than we'd like it to. So I just don't know, like, what's the cutoff? Like, when are you, like, you need to be out of the house. You need to be in your own apartment. Because you don't want to force your kid into a financially stressful situation. But you can't let your kid just, like, sit at home and eat your Eggos for the next, like, 50. Yes, I eat Eggos every morning. You can't let your kid just eat your food and be comfortable. And we've, Melissa and I have done a horrible job. What I mean is a very good job of making our home very comfortable. So like nobody wants to leave.
Yeah. I mean, I think like most things, I would say it's situational. Mm-hmm. And there's not a black and white answer in my opinion. It just never would be. And then you get down to when you have multiple adult children, one maybe needs no help and one maybe needs a lot of help. So you handle that differently. You just have to, right?
If your kid's working, if your kid's working and they're a productive member of society, you have way more leeway with me. Like, yeah, let's stay here until you have enough and your budget and expense ratio is enough where you can get out on your own and not have to like really struggle too much. Now, I'll just pull a number like that. I'll pull a number out of the air. Like that can't be till you're 30, and like 28 is probably when I start like scratching my head. Like, all right, when the heck are you going to get out of here?
What if she wants to buy a house in New York? Like, what if that's her goal? I mean, 28, she's not going to be able to do that.
Then you have to save up here until you're 28. Go get yourself an apartment in New York or in Hoboken or.
Right.
Wherever.
Right. Yeah.
And then you, it's just going to take you a little longer to save up because now you have to like, you have the expense of an apartment for a little bit.
Yeah. I think the element, like I agree with you, Mike, that like it's very situational. I feel like it's just so important to have the conversation and to be on the record about expectations from both sides to whether or not you're job seeking or you're responsibly spending and saving your money. And timelines, I feel like creating them can be a little bit of a slippery slope, right? It can maybe add undue pressure, can create anxiety around an age, approaching an age that maybe isn't totally necessary. Again, that's situation by situation.
Communication is like step one.
Yeah.
And we screwed that up. Like we never had the sit down. It's so crazy that we're having this pod now because Melissa and I talked about it this morning and we reached out to Kayla today and said, hey, why don't we, because she's in between jobs, she's looking for a job. We're like, we need to sit down this weekend if we all can to discuss like, what's your plan? Like, how long do you want to be here in, living at home? What does your budget look like? What are your goals? What are you saving up for? What do you want your career to look like? Does that mean you have to go back to school? Do you want a career? I don't know if you want a career. And like just have that discussion. We haven't had it and we never had it. So that was a mistake. We probably should have had that a year and a half ago. But she's 24. We're going to have it now. Everybody's on the same page to have it. And I think we're all going to feel a whole lot better after we have it. She's going to feel better because she finally has direction. We feel better because we understand her expectations and she knows our expectations. And I think as long as you're helping your kids make good financial decisions, that's good.
Like I think I can definitely see the helping with the down payment as becoming, as being way more of a an obvious and important thing to do, given that all the other things are there. You know,
the stars would have to align for me for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if a kid has a house that they want to buy and the down payment's 50 grand and they have $5,000 saved up, I'm not helping you.
But I think part of the thing there is that the article mentions it, that the price of real estate now, relatively speaking, is outrageous. So the down payment that would have been required 30 years ago is, it's not even attainable.
But if you haven't shown the discipline and the financial ability to accumulate at least half of the down payment, why would I help you buy a house? You're probably just going to make more financial mistakes and you're probably going to lose the house or need more financial support from me, which I'm not going to do.
I think that's where conversations are important and expectations are required. I mean, I obviously I don't have kids, but like when we think about that adult hood time frame, it's like it's weddings, it's houses, it's, you know, again, kids of their own. And I think there are a lot of ways in which help can be used, of course, but maybe with you and your kids, like identifying, you said it, the goals or the priorities of your kid, and they're going to be different for everybody. And then I think it's like, how financially solvent are mom and dad? Like, can they afford to do these things? Again, we deal in a space and place where most of the time the affordability for mom and dad is not a huge concern. But that's not the norm. I mean, that life being more expensive isn't just impacting young adults.
Yeah.
Life's more expensive for everybody. Now, mom and dad might not be trying to buy a home or trying to have a wedding or have their own kids. So I understand that. But like parents deciding to help with no guardrails for themselves is like the absolute worst thing they could do for themselves and their kids, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have a few clients where I've said like, you know, it's a single client, you know, husband or wife predeceased, they have one child and they have more money than they need. Like you can help your kid as much as you want.
Yeah.
Like you're not like filthy rich, but you're never gonna spend all this money. They're going to get it anyway. If you want to help them, sure. No guardrails. You're right. Totally fine. But I think in 90% of the cases, yeah, there have to be guardrails because the parents have enough for themselves, but not enough for everybody else.
Right.
It's interesting. It's wild how unique every situation is, and there is no, okay, here's the rule of thumb. This is how you do it. You know, you once your kids hit 28, you kick them out. Like, it's expensive, and they don't make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I you know, kudos to the kid that graduates college and is immediately in an apartment on their own. Yeah. Supporting themselves, but I don't think that's the norm anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend whose son just graduated a year ago, took a job in out of state, and he learned the job, he rented an apartment, spent everything he was making on that, and mm-hmm. just living. And then, you know, this particular job, I guess, has afforded him the ability to work remotely, so he just announced he's coming home and living at home to save the rent while he continues to work. And the parents are not happy about it at all. So, but I get it. Like, he's not saving any money by spending, you know, $1,800 a month on rent, whatever it is. I'm making up a number, but like he's spending he's not saving anything where he is. And that's a scenario where, I don't know, I would say, yeah, like a year, two, whatever. I don't know, maybe, but just bank what you can and then figure it out.
There's other options, man. You don't have to get an apartment by yourself, right? You get an apartment with two other people. You make it affordable. But you can't, like, I just don't, like, if your kid's sitting on your couch eating Cheetos, like, you need to crack them into shape to, like, get a job or get out. And I'm sorry. Like, that's, if that creates financial stress for you, I'm sorry. But you just can't, like, what's the word that people, you can't.
Freeload.
Yeah, you can't be like a freeloader. If they're busting their butt and they're working and it's just expensive and
yeah, that's kind of where I'm.
Yeah, you help them accumulate and then figure out, okay, you want to move out? Well, yeah, a $2,000 apartment isn't in your range, but I don't want you living in a $200 a month apartment. So let's figure out, find two of your buddies and find a place. Because I think that's going to help them grow, right? Keeping them at home where they're comfortable isn't. Getting them out with roommates, that experience, living with other people, having to like wash the dishes because your roommates are going to give you shit if you don't, like, that's all growth for them.
And it affords them growth financially too, because it forces a level of responsibility, you hope. And obviously it could go the other way where poor habits are created, but like, you hope that maybe with enough of a cushion, a couple of years saved, and then like a budget or a framework in which they can afford to live, that it does create maybe more sound financial decision-making moving forward.
I mean, we've all done it, right? All three of us have moved out.
Yeah.
It sucked. It was financially stressful, at least for me.
I lived with two people I met on Craigslist.
What's Craigslist? Okay. It's tough. I'm not saying it's not tough, but there's ways that you can alleviate the stress level a little bit and make it possible for you to move out.
Like, at the end of the day, if people have parents who are willing and able to help, if it's done so responsibly and well-intended.
Yeah, I think, maybe I'll wrap with this. I think the one thing that we have to do a better job of doing, and I'll throw my wife under the bus.
We being parents.
Parents.
Yeah.
We have to stop looking about what we did. Like Melissa always says, and this is not specifically related to like older kids, like to our younger generation.
I agree with you.
But she's always like, man, like when my mom was at work and I was at home, like I started dinner and I cleaned that. Like, okay, well, you're a better person, right? And you're maybe a harder worker. But like, we can't take what we did and expect our children to do the same damn thing. Especially when we have made their lives super comfortable.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
Okay.
All right.